Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's meditation was Seeking Sanctuary.
This morning, through scripture and song, we have heard and we have been a part of proclaiming the good news, the birth story of Jesus. You know, the best part this morning, though, our kids acted out in all of their chaos, as Pastor April called it. Especially after so many months of not seeing our kids, many of them have aged beyond our recognition. I saw new babies toddling around up here. I saw teenage wise men who should have been shepherds. You know, I wish we could pause time so that we could come back and see them just as we left them. But we can't do that, can we? Time marches on. But in a certain sense today, just seeing our children and seeing the promise of their growth is a little glimpse of sanctuary. It was really hard not to take a panoramic picture after being instructed not to do so. In her novel called American Dirt, Janine Cummings tells the story of a mother and son whose names are Lydia and Luca, and they are attempting to leave Mexico after losing 16 family members in one single episode of cartel violence. In just a matter of moments, Lydia and Luca are forced to transition from their regular lives, where Luca was a schoolboy with a good, stable home life, and Lydia was a bookstore owner. They transitioned from their regular lives in a matter of moments, and they became migrants who had to leave everything behind. You heard Laura talking about what some of our neighbors have to leave behind when their lives change in just a moment, and this is exactly what happens to Lydia and Luca, who were celebrating Anissa's quinceañera when the violence erupted. They had no time to gather their paperwork, their documentation. They couldn't even drive the orange Volkswagen Beetle because it drew too much attention, and everybody knew that it belonged to their father, Sebastian, who was killed in the violence. They knew that it would too easily identify them as they had to move from one place to the next. They had no time to plan, no time to pack, no time to grieve. In just a matter of moments, they became migrants, and they had to travel from one place to the next, all the while trying to figure out how in the world to make it all work. The book follows them as they journey along the way, and on their journey, their experiences, they tug at our heartstrings. As readers like you and I read a book, sitting comfortably on our sofas, in our chairs, listening perhaps on Audible from our places of residence, our places of safety, our places of security. The book is not a religious book by any stretch. In fact, it's fiction. It's a novel. But there are certain moments along the way that cause us to pause and to reflect on the meaning of faith, the meaning of community, and more deeply and more relevant today, perhaps, the meaning of sanctuary. Early in the story, as Lydia and Luca make their way from Acapulco to Mexico City and then closer to another border town, the weary pair approach a hospitality center that is set up for migrants like themselves. As they enter, the 8-year-old Luca notices several signs out front, some of which are even decorated with depictions of Mary and Jesus. And on one of the signs that Luca reads, he finds rules for the travelers. And they're prefaced by the following disclaimer. Brother migrant, we will watch over you and protect you from poleros, from guides and coyotes, so that you may enjoy a happy stay here with our hospitality. Anyone found to be in transgression of the following rules and specifications will then be handed over to the appropriate authorities. May God protect you along the way. Luca continues reading and sees the rules posted below. Persons requesting admission to the casa must be migrants from this country or another, or they must be deportees from the United States. Drugs and alcohol are prohibited, and anyone presenting symptoms of their use will be denied entry. And finally, please remember that this is a place of sanctuary. Here you may rest while God restores your strength for the journey yet ahead of you. Your stay here must therefore be transitory and limited to a maximum of 3 nights. There was something about that last rule that caught my attention. I was listening to it while I was running down the street in my comfortable neighborhood, and there was something about that last rule that made me physically pause and rewind the book. I needed to hear it again. There was a shift that occurred, a shift that moved us from appropriate behaviors to a rule about the nature of sanctuary. Please remember, this is a place of sanctuary. Here you may rest while God restores your strength for the journey yet ahead of you. Upon reading the rules, I had to stop to hear them again because my mind, it followed a tangent, and I couldn't even pay attention to what happened next in the story. I had to listen again because that tangent reminded me of the uncomfortably temporary nature of sanctuary, not just for Luca and Lydia, but for so many others. I don't know if it's the study of the birth narratives on Wednesday nights, or if it's the theme for the week, seeking sanctuary, but when I read the words, when I heard them for the first time playing in my earbuds, I just couldn't help but see the faces of Mary and Joseph and Jesus, represented by characters named Lydia and Luca. According to Matthew, those of you who have been coming on Wednesday nights know that the members of the Holy Family were travelers. They were migrants who loaded everything on their backs as they journeyed from Bethlehem to Egypt. And then eventually they traveled back from Egypt to Nazareth. They fled to Egypt to avoid the wrath of the angry and jealous king we know as Herod, who was so threatened by the possibility that God might be doing something new, something that came in the form of a tiny baby, something that didn't require a political king at all. They left for Egypt to flee the violence of a king because that king resorted to violence. So Mary and Joseph had to flee, seeking sanctuary in a foreign land. I couldn't help but see their faces as I read the story of Lydia and Luca. And the three, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, they found refuge in Egypt, but they couldn't stay there forever. Matthew has them coming back from Egypt to Nazareth so that Jesus could live out his ministry and his mission. Please remember that this is a place of sanctuary. Here you may rest while God restores your strength for the journey yet ahead of you. Your stay must be transitory. And then in Luke's gospel, Mary's migration begins even before the baby is born. Right after the angel comes to visit her, she travels to see Elizabeth. Whether she was scared or stressed or anxious or excited, we can never know for sure. But recognizing what the unwed and unplanned pregnancy would mean for Mary living in the ancient world, we can assume that Elizabeth's welcome. The text says the two embraced when she arrived. And we can assume that Elizabeth's hug, her welcome, felt like sanctuary, a safe place where hospitality and love flowed freely and abundantly. a sacred place where the mystery of God's work could be celebrated without judgment and ridicule, a refuge from the storm that would undoubtedly come, a temporary retreat from the journey. Here you may rest while God restores your strength. Maybe it's the pandemic. Maybe it's the stress of the Advent season or the longer nights as winter creeps in. I know it was 61 degrees today, but colder days are coming. Maybe it's all these things that are circulating in our minds, or in my mind, as I read the words from American Dirt and as I consider the stories of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. But I can't help but also see our faces on the characters of Lydia and Luca as they draw near to the border in search of safety and refuge and hope against all odds. Though we may have the good fortune that allows us a roof over our heads, food on the table, and a certain amount of stability that enables us to stay put for a little while, we are still travelers. We're just traveling a different kind of journey. We journey through life as the days, the weeks, the months, and the years march on. And with the passage of time, we meet challenges, both welcomed and unwelcomed, planned and unplanned. At times, we seek refuge from the storms that arrive, bringing with them uncertainty and instability, aches and pains, perhaps, that were not there in younger days, rising costs we did not plan for, and grief that we could not escape even if we wanted to. As we journey, we wrestle with God, asking why, asking what now, asking how in the world, asking for help, asking for a glimpse of something familiar and safe and secure. Just a temporary pause, a refuge from the storms that swirl around us, a sanctuary where we can rest and allow God to restore us for the journey yet to come. We know every day cannot be refuge. We'd miss the whole journey. We'd stay put in the same place while time marched on around us. But when we are weary, sanctuary does give us strength. It gives us strength to know that the people and places of refuge are indeed there, offering a room or a hug or an open door, an open heart, a prayer, a meal, the presence of Christ in human flesh, a glimpse of our eternal home that isn't here yet, but that is sure to come. Reverend Sarah Speed writes in her poem, Come On Home, which I believe is in your devotional material for the season. We all know the feeling, the shaky ground, water is rising, sun is fading feeling that makes steady breathing a miracle in and of itself, and holding back tears a marvel. And when those days come, I call my parents or my grown-up children, and I call my church, I call my friends, and they all say in unison what God has said from the very beginning, which is, come on home. Is there anything more healing than an open door? If you are seeking sanctuary, if the waters are rising, then listen. It may be hard to hear, but God is always saying, come on home. Maybe today you and I need to hear just that invitation. Come on home. Or maybe today you and I need to extend that invitation to somebody else. Life is full of opportunities to both give and receive sanctuary. This is a critical part of our faith journey. And like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus himself, we are all on individual journeys that differ from the journeys of our neighbors. And like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus himself, we are all sharing this journey together. That is what makes church so unique. We spend our lives on the road from here to there, no matter where here and there might be. And as we move from one place to the next, there are indeed little places of hospitality and refuge where God does draw near, where we can pause and allow God to restore our souls. Sometimes those places show up in the way of an open door. Sometimes they are a seat on the pew. Sometimes they are an invitation to hope or a brief moment of peace, an expression of joy in the middle of our pain, an experience of unconditional love when we didn't feel like we deserved it. We are all seeking sanctuary in one way or another. And we all wish that those moments of sanctuary could last forever. And one day, they will, but not quite yet. For now, the invitation comes around just in the nick of time, just when we need it, just when we need to pause and rest and restore our strength for the journey ahead. Friends, we are all seeking sanctuary, and God is here to open the door, to say, come on in. Come on home, take a seat, rest. Let me restore your strength for the journey ahead. And the only way we can respond is to say thanks be to God. Amen.